What was, and to some extent still is necessary, in other words, was that people were actually put in a position to exercise the rights which they were given by our constitutions, whether written or unwritten. And this is the background of that great development which has led to the welfare state or the social state, to the net of social security, which has come to be characteristic of many, though unfortunately not all, countries of the OECD world. I would argue, and I want to make this point very forcefully in order not to be misunderstood in my later remarks, I would argue that a net of social security, which makes sure that no individual finds himself or herself in a state in which they cannot enjoy participation in the life of a civilized society, that this net of social security marks enormous progress and the kind of progress which should not and must not be undone. This concerns old age as much as sickness. This concerns education. This concerns unemployment and many other needs for which the community as a community has taken a responsibility. Let me add one other point. I am entirely aware of the fact that the net of social security is by no means as tight as it would have to be in order to guarantee that as few individuals as possible can ever fall through it and suffer the indignities of sickness without help, old age without help, and the same is true for the other aspects of social security. In other words, it is true that we still have poverty, and what is worse, it is true that in many OECD societies we have new forms of poverty, and perhaps we haven't even got the categories to deal with them adequately. The notion of a new underclass is one which must be worrying to many. And yet, I would argue that there is, in fact, a whole set of new problems concerning this net of social security, which are real, whatever political view one may choose to take. There's a whole set of problems which can be classified under at least three main headings. There are problems on the income side of the net of social security or of social policy. It is quite clear today that it will be difficult to finance the systems of social security which have been created in Europe, and perhaps to a lesser extent in this country, and certainly an even lesser extent in the United States of America. It will be difficult, partly because we are all faced with demographic developments which are likely to lead, or bound to lead, to an increasing number of people who are entitled to benefits and a decreasing number of people who contribute. These demographic developments are further strengthened by developments in relation to the time of life spent in employment. And as working lives get shorter, there's naturally an increasing mismatch. At any rate, if I may make this, I think perhaps almost momentous remark in parenthesis without taking it up again, at any rate, this is true as long as the system of social security is based on people's jobs and on people's work position. But let me assume for purposes of this lecture that it is, because it is a fact of life. It is true, in other words, that as people's working lives get shorter, there is an increasing mismatch between paying into the system or contributing and entitlement. And of course, it is true that all our systems of social security in the Western world depend on a fair, probably 3 or 4 or 5% annual rate of growth, an aspect of the growth debate which is often overlooked, but an aspect of the growth debate which must surely mean that if it is true that we are all going to find it exceedingly difficult to reach orders of magnitude like 3 or 4 or 5%, the system of social security itself will suffer on the income side. On the expenditure side, And that's the second set of problems which arises in this connection. They are problems of a similar order of magnitude. More and more people are entitled. And who is to say that they shouldn't be? There is the important issue of the entitlements of women in all systems of social services. And who is to say that these entitlements shouldn't exist? But there's no doubt either that the expenditure required in order to substantiate these entitlements will lead to an increase in cost which tallies badly with decreasing income for the social services. There is, moreover, again on the expenditure side, the difficult issue of the endless, if not bottomlessness, of many social services, and this is particularly true in the field of health. In other words, it is very hard to tell when enough has been given in this system of redistribution. And if one adds to the problems of income and of expenditure a third set, that of the organization of social services, one can see the full magnitude of the problem, because what the social state has meant is that in order to enable people to make full use of their citizenship rights, systems of organization, bureaucracies, had to be set up, which in turn at least appear to take away rights as much as they give them. In other words, it was quite inevitable if one wanted to have a system of health insurance, or indeed a system of unemployment insurance, or a system of old age pensions, which is fair and acceptable, that one had to set up organizations which, as organizations, had to appear to many individuals as gigantic monsters, indeed as what Max Weber called an iron cage of bondage, which makes them as dependent as the dependence was from which people tried to escape by becoming beneficiaries of the social services for which they were set up in the first instance. Bureaucracy is both necessary and ineffective. And perhaps this is the point at which one slight excursion is in place, which you will see in a minute, takes me right back to the main point, the political point. When I say that bureaucracies were both necessary and are ineffective, that they were both needed and are regarded as new threats, I think I may have made, but I remind you of the sociologist on leave in this connection, I think I may have made a significant point about developments of class and the relations between developments of class and political action. It seems to me that it is at least conceivable that there has been one quite significant change in these recent decades in all OECD countries. And that is that a considerable number of people, arguably the majority, has left a situation in which there was a clear antagonism of clearly delineated social classes, membership of which led to clear and unambiguous political expression. And it seems to me that we must at least consider the possibility that what has happened in our societies is something very strange, namely that more and more people find themselves personally and individually in an ambiguous class position. They are, in some senses, not only dependent on a system of social security which involves bureaucratic organization, but they like it, because that's precisely what they need for the guarantee of their citizenship rights. And in another sense, the same individuals resent the bureaucracies which boss them about, which force them to queue at counters, which turn them into numbers on a computer. That is to say, the same individuals throughout these Western societies are both delighted beneficiaries of the system and resentful opponents of the system. And because it is the same individuals, so many of the reactions of people which we can see today, political and general, are so hard to understand. It is still easy to draw the lines of class in theoretical terms, but it is no longer easy to draw these lines with respect to individual human beings and their position And perhaps much of the uncertainty of contemporary politics arises from this confusion of positions of class in individual lives rather than in society as a whole. Let me return to my argument. I take up the point I just made in a few moments. What I think one can say with respect to the subject of social policy and the citizenship rights of individuals is that it is bound to be difficult, if not impossible, in the decades to come for all OECD societies to keep the promises built into the system of social security. It is bound to be difficult in every one of our societies to keep these promises. It is bound to be difficult for the reasons which I have given, which you might call economic. It is bound to be difficult also because there are reactions of people to the position in which they find themselves. So what do we do about it? What are the replies to this difficulty on the income and expenditure sides in terms of organization and in terms of people's attitudes? And here we begin to see characteristic reactions, in part hysterical reactions, but characteristic reactions in the political world in which we are living. There are those who say, all this may well be so, but nevertheless we have to stick to traditional policies. We've got to make them work by hook or by crook. There are those who want to do so by moderate means, by adjustments, by minor improvements. And there are those who say, we haven't gone far enough at all. There has to be a much more radical redistribution. I rather suspect that if they have their way, and this is true for both categories within the group of those who would like to do more of the same thing, I rather suspect that if they have their way, we will find more of the problems of income, expenditure, and organization rather than less. Then there are those, and I suppose they are the ones who are meant when one talks about a swing to the right, who say, ah, now it is obvious that we have gone far too far in this direction. People have been pampered. There's been an exaggerated redistribution. There hasn't been enough healthy inequality, or whatever the argument may be. And therefore, what we need is simply and plainly cuts in public expenditure, never mind how they fall or where they fall. And these cuts in public expenditure have to apply to the system of social security above all. There are now examples of that kind of approach. And I think that these examples show that anybody who approaches the system of social security in this particular way will inherit a repetition of yesterday's problems, made worse by some of the obvious implications of a thoughtless and almost abstract cut of public expenditure. And I hope, therefore, that it is possible to think of another approach which could be developed in detail, which I cannot develop here because I don't want to speak until midnight, or I don't want to torture you with a speech until midnight, but I hope it will be possible to think of another approach in which we rethink our system of social security, make sure that there remains a basic security, a floor on which everybody stands, a net, if you wish, through which nobody should be allowed to fall.